All right, here we go. We're going to get started on here. So, anybody who can remember these is old. Anybody remember that?
No.
I laugh because when I was thinking about this, this sharing that I'm going to do tonight has been on my heart here for a few weeks. And so when I was a kid, we'd ride our bikes, but you couldn't ride your bike at night, okay, because no lights. Now, I couldn't afford to put batteries in a light, okay, which they did have them, but we couldn't afford them, and they weren't that bright anyways. And so somebody came along with the idea of a generator that hits up against the tire. And so when you ride, the faster you ride, the brighter the light gets. And then when you come to a stop, it just goes out. But you could feel it, like when you were coasting, you could feel it, because it had a little click. You'd click it over, and it wouldn't be touching the tire. And then when you want it on, you'd click it over, and that gear that you see right here would rub up against the tire, and as your tires turned, it would generate electricity to generate the light. And so we thought it was the coolest thing, but as you coast, you could feel it slowing you down. I mean, seriously, it had resistance to it, so it would slow you down a little bit. But that generated, that hitting it. And so I'm like going, which makes me laugh, because... Here's the next thing. Anybody remember these? Must be old. I had one when I was in middle school, and I thought it was the coolest thing. LED, light emitting diode. And so it was a watch that had nothing on it. You had to push the button, and then it would show you that. And I'd push it like every minute because I thought that was so cool. Look at that. It's right in the dark. You can still see this. But this was it. There was no LED prior to this, and so these lights either had batteries or you had to have some form of generation to make it do. LEDs burn very, very little electricity, so you can have a battery running a light, and it will last you for a long, long time. Back in those days, you did it, okay? But I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. Okay, here we go. Never give in, never, never, never. In nothing great or small, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Okay? Winston Charles. We had a bird that he was named after, or maybe it was the other way around, I'm not sure. But
was the death let go?
Please use his proper name.
Winston. Okay, anybody knows what this is?
No.
You beat me if you did. Okay. This is the dynamics for figuring out a hydro plant, how much wattage will come out of a hydro plant. Okay? So, P at the beginning here is the power in watts, and it's all figured. The second P, and don't ask me where the letters come from because they don't really match up, but this is physics something or another. I didn't come up with this on my own, trust me, there's no way I could. The second one, the P here, is the density of the water. Now, if anybody knows about the hydro plants, the pressure of that water is incredible. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And that's why, as you see the dams, they're not like a straight brick wall. Okay, because the pressure is dispensed more down on the bottom, and so they're all, you know, pyramidal or trapezoidal, if you will, however, they're pyramidal shaped, so that the pressure down at the bottom has the biggest base. That's also where you have the greatest force. Okay, H is the height in meters, so the higher it goes up, the more pressure that's down on the water on the bottom. R is the rate of flow in cubic meters per second. Okay, and G is the acceleration due to the gravity that's pushing this, and K is basically just how efficient all your rotors and everything else are. So if anybody's ever been to one of those dam tours, and you've gone through and watched and see it, it's incredible. It's incredible, the force, and those things are enormous that drive those. Okay, and so it's pretty interesting. And this is how one works. This is the generic version of it. Your intake, they don't do it like in the old days where you'd see the water wheels where it would turn a wheel. That works, okay? This has so much more force and so much more pressure that they can turn the resistance on the turbines way, way up. So it generates a heck of a lot more energy because of the pressure that's going through there. So the intakes come through, it comes down, and you have a room down here like this, and then the generator, and all the electrical stuff is in here. These are all your coils and magnets and everything else around this, and the propellers, if you will, are down here on this turbine. And then after the water comes through, it flows right back out into the river. And so it generates a ton of electricity. But it's the force, and it's the resistance, and the more resistance that comes into it, the more it can generate. Okay, and so we're going to, my little sharing tonight is going to be on great miracles from being under pressure or through adversity. Okay, so let's start off here in 1 Peter. Close to the back, very close to the back. 1 Peter 4:12-14. I'm sorry, 1 Peter, yeah, 4. And 12 through 14. Did you get it?
241.
Okay, here we go. In verse 12, you there? Right hand side. Beloved, be not held in surprise by the burning among you, which for putting you to the proof is befalling you, as though a surprising thing were happening unto you. But insofar as ye are taking fellowship in the Christ's sufferings, rejoice, in order that in revealing of his, the revealing of his glory, also you may rejoice with exultation. If ye were being reproached in the name of Christ, happy are ye, because the Spirit of the glory and the Spirit of Yahweh unto you is bringing rest. Okay? Easier to say when you're not into it than you when you are. What we're going to look at here tonight is that there is, when a person is trying to avoid the conflict, you are avoiding the glory and the manifestations that can sometimes come with it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that Yahweh's not putting you through these. He's not pushing this upon you like, okay, like we're going to test you here and we're going to do this to you and we're going to see how you hang in. Because if you hang in there, boy, that'll make you a stronger person. That's not what I'm talking about, not what I'm saying. But at the same time, for somebody who adverts a conflict or adverts something and walks away from something that they should be engaged in, they're missing that. And so they're taking the, you know, you've seen the overheads of like a river, you know, it's run and it's just doing this number, just snaking all over the place. And why? Because it's taking the path of least resistance. And you look at how many miles that river goes versus if it went straight across, how much less it would have to go. But it's the path of least resistance. And as Christians, we are not called to be taking the path of least resistance. And so that's what I'm talking about when we look at this. To be under pressure, sometimes you will be under pressure. You will be called under pressure. Things are going to happen, and this is when we're going to see that a lot of times, this is when miracles come through. You know, it's like, I think about that with our band. I know I've told that story before, but when our band broke down, I didn't want to break down at 5 o'clock in Goodland, Kansas, you know, on our way back. Yeah, it was a Friday night. And I'm like going, holy cow, I don't want this. And so what we prayed about this, what are we going to do? And I'm thinking to myself, we're going to be stuck here. Things come out. And so what happened is, we could have just drove home, everything would have been fine, and we prayed about it and got the response of we're supposed to go. We did, and everything was fine, but it was a miracle. And so when we avert these things, oh, why do you put this upon me? Oh, for crying out loud. You know, it's like Christ with the blind kid. He's not chewing out, well, whose fault is it? No, let's get this fixed. Here's an opportunity while it's still day. Let's get this done. And so that's our calling as well. And if we go for that path of least resistance, we're going to miss a ton of those things. And that's where Christ is calling us. So here we go. We're looking at this as a faith-based issue. Flip back just a few pages there. It's about 20 pages to the left to Hebrews 11. And I'll have somebody read that for me if they would. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, and then also 6. And it's going to be on 230 down at the very bottom where we start. 1 through 3, and then verse 6.
But faith is of things hoped for, a confidence, of facts, a conviction when they are not seen. For thereby well attested were the ancients. By faith we understand the ages to have been fitted together by the declaration of God, to the end that not out of things appearing should that which is seen have come into existence.
And then down to 6, if you will, please.
But apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. For he that approacheth unto God must needs have faith that he is, and that to them who seek him out, a rewarder he becometh.
That's it. And so faith is action. Faith is something. Somebody can say, well, I have faith. And somebody can say, well, give me some examples of your faith. How that you can say you have faith. What did it get you? What did it do for you? Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's the difference is without faith. Well, having faith, I can have faith, but faith means I am doing something in action as well. And that is the two part of faith. Yes, I have faith. Okay, good. Let's see it. Yes. Let's see it. Let's see the faith. What does that mean? Bring it forth. Bring it out. Yeah, I like this from Charles Spurgeon. Faith obliterates time, annihilates distance, and brings future things at once into possession. Okay, and here we go. Foresight versus faith. And this is where you see this. And we see stories all over the Word. And we can hear stories that have come from our own personal lives or things that we see on TV as we listen to Christian things or hear stories where somebody wants to know, this needs to take place. How's it going to take place? I need money to pay this. Well, Yahweh, I need this. Tell me how it's going to come. And he's not. Yeah. He's not going to tell you, okay? And how you may think it's coming might be something different. The faith is that it's going to come. When it comes, that's showing. That's the action that I'm standing in faith that this is going to take place. I'm standing in faith that this is going to be healed. The action is I'm speaking it. By his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
Okay? And that's the action of the faith. And so when we look at this, we're like, well, how's it going to happen? Well, I've got an issue that there's just no way out of it. I just can't see out of it. So Yahweh, you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to show me how to do this. And I think of all the times through the Word where Yahweh did not. Yahweh's there with him. But you're standing in faith. And that what that means is the person says, I know that you're going to take care of this. How you do it, I don't know. But I know it's going to be done. And so I'm looking in the face of the adversary, looking in the face of my enemy, outnumbered, and knowing that, guess what? It's done. How it's done, I don't know. So when we look at that, I think about Abraham and Isaac, where he was going to kill his son, knowing what his son's position was. Abraham knew that Isaac would come back. He knew that he would have him. So how it was going to happen, he did not know. Abraham was not familiar with people being raised up from the dead, but he believed in Yahweh, and that was faith. The 185,000 people slain, they knew what to say. Not a shield would enter, not an arrow would be flown. Now, boy, when you are surrounded by people who are war-hungry, mm-hmm. and you hear something like that, well, how? Really? Nothing's going to happen? And nothing happened. But he didn't tell them what was going to happen. He just said that it would be taken care of. Jericho. Okay, think about that, the marching around, what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to make the sounds. And I always have to laugh about that because I think about that. Everybody had to keep quiet. Keep quiet. And I'm like going, could you imagine that? The thousands of people going around and doing this. And then exactly as they were told to do. And how it was going to happen, I don't know. We don't know. We just were told this is what we need to do. And they do. So they did not have the foresight. Boy, it would have been great if they would have known. Hey, guys, here's all we have to do. Here's the game plan. We go around there, do this. The walls are going to fall in. We go in, and we subdue the city. Okay? Did not happen that way. Yahweh told them what to do. They went to go do it, not knowing exactly what it was going to be. The Jordan crossing, I think about that, about the water. Well, we're going to go across, and it's going to be dry. Well, does the water divert? Does it go one place? Does it go the other? What's going to happen? The water's going to stack up. Could you imagine seeing that water stacking up on top of it and being able to look in there and see something like going, holy cow, look at that, it's my shoe, I can see it. Not focusing on the how, but the promise. And that's the big thing. That's the faith. That's where the faith comes into. And the do this. Do this. Here's what you do. We do this. And so we're focusing on the promise. The promise that Yahweh gave us. The prophecies that we've had, that we've been given. That this is the promise. How this is going to come about, this is where my faith stands in, where I'm going to get this, okay? The healings, we can speak in. There's some things that we just speak. We can speak into existence. We can do a lot of the things on our own. For things that we need the faith, we're calling it. Tell me what I need to do. So let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5, 1 through 4. If somebody will read that, here we'll have an adult read that. I'll have some of the kids read some of the smaller ones. 5, 1 through 4. Page 154.
I'll read it.
Thank you.
You guys there?
154.
Having therefore been declared righteous by faith, let us have peace towards Yahweh through our Lord Yehoshua Mashiach, through whom also we have had our introduction by our faith into this favor wherein we stand. And let us boast in hope of the glory of Yahweh. And not only so, but let us boast also in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulation worketh out endurance, and our endurance a testing, and our testing hope. And
That's good. That's good right there for poor. And so that's it. That's what we're saying. So in the first verse there, having therefore been declared righteous by faith, and let us boast of the glory, and then let us boast also in our tribulations. So in those things where we had that, you think about the times where it'd be like going, holy cow, do you remember when, and you think back of those times when something took place, and you're like going, holy cow, we were up against the wall, and there was no way out. This was a no-win situation. And then all of a sudden, something took place. You're like going, boy, that's boasting on the tribulations. Be boasting in the tribulations. Yes, things are tough right now, but Yahweh's with me, and I'm coming through this, and I'm going to get through this. And that's what we should say for anybody who's dealing with those things or waiting on healings. Yes, I'm waiting for this. I'm working for this, but Yahweh's with me, and I will get it. I will get this. This is where I'm standing in faith. So here we go. A couple things I want to look at here. This is the New King James Version. And you see this here. This is the same verse. And it says, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Okay, and so this is the words here for it. And so when we look at this also, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little bit of a study on this. And this word is called dokeme. And this is it. This is the testing here that you see here, the testing. And so it says the proof, experience, trial, experiment, proving, trial, so forth and so on. But what we're going to look at here is this right here, that the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, 198. And we're going to go to it from here. And I copied some of the stuff in there because it was pretty lengthy. But this is it. It's from the stem word, dope, which means watching. Dokimus means tested, and thus A, reliable and esteemed. And so as you see through some of these verses we go through, you're going to see these words come up that when we're talking about faith. Okay, valuable. Whether persons or things, adokama is the opposite use of persons. In rare, dokamai, which is what this one we're looking at is here, means testing. Dokaminion, and which is also neat. While I'm pointing this out, the Rotherham is the only one that I know that says that is testing. And it says right here, dokamai means testing, okay? Which is what it says in the Rotherham. Okay, New King James does not say that. Some of the other ones don't say that. And this is where it's like the literal translation. We're trying to get the accuracy. In the sense of tested, genuine, dokum or whatever, it means to test. The other word here, to throw out in the test, and testing. The New Testament gives a group of special applications view the situation of Christians. Set between salvation on the one side and judgment on the other, they seek attestation. The future judgment and the present divine scrutiny fashion a corresponding mode of life. This gives added point to the question of attestation. Attestation will be manifest in affliction, i.e., the pressure put on the church in this period when it does not yet see salvation and is exposed to the assault from secular and demonic powers. Mm-hmm. We have that. The word tells us we're going to have that. That it is going to come against you. Persecution is going to come against you. And if you want to take the path of least resistance, that persecution is going to push you. And so your banks of your river are now going to go over to this side. And then when somebody pushes you from the other, then it's going to go to the other side. Okay, to where we're pushing back. We're pushing back for Christ to say, yes, and this is what we're doing. We're not taking the path. So this is what it's referring to, okay? I.e. the pressure put on the church, salvation, okay, demonic powers. Suffering produces endurance, dokeme, and dokeme, hope. Hmm. Continuing here, a few scriptures that they reference in here, 2 Corinthians 8:2, that in a great testing of tribulation, the superabounding of their joy and their deep destitution superabounded under the riches of their liberality. In James 1, 2, 3, and 4, all joy accounted, my brethren, whensoever ye fall with manifold temptations, taking note that the proving of your faith worketh out endurance. Okay? But let your endurance have mature work, teleos work, that ye may be mature and complete in nothing coming short.
Amen.
1 Peter 6 and 7, wherein ye exalt, though for a little just now, if needful, put to grief in manifold temptations, in order that the proving of your faith, much more precious than of gold that perisheth, even though by means of fire it is proved, may be found unto praise and glory and honor in the revealing of Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua Mashiach. Okay? Continuing, accepted, tested, and approved. Okay, this is what we're looking at. And again, I'm telling you right now that these are the things that come against you, but this is also a building up. A building up. Yahushua describes himself as a rejected stone, which became the head of the corner. Now, was Yahushua persecuted? Yeah, to the point where it took him, okay? We knew what he had to do, but yes, he was persecuted. And did he shy from that? No. He went right to the source, right to the Pharisees, right to the Sadducees, right to the synagogues to speak the truth and speak what was correct. And who was against him? These people were against him. And so he had people that followed him, but he spoke the truth. He did not take the path of least resistance. And he called himself as a rejected stone. And so we're going to go look at it a couple places where it's prophesied. Let's go to 118 Psalms. And I will call you a page there. I'll give you a chance to get going.
Right in the middle of the Bible is Psalms. So up at the middle.
591. Page 591. All right, I'll go ahead and read this, chapter 18, verses 19 through 22, on the right-hand side there. I'm sorry, it's through 23. I put on 22 on the screen, but it's actually through 23. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter therein, and I will give thanks unto Yah. This is the gate for Yahweh. Such as are righteous shall enter therein. I will thank thee because thou hast answered me and hast become mine by salvation. And a stone the builders refused hath become the head of the corner. And Yahweh hath this come to pass, the same in marvelous in your is marvelous in your eyes. Okay? This is prophetic. Okay? Go to Matthew, switch over to Matthew, and we're going to see this now as Christ speaks this. Okay? Matthew 21:42, and we'll let one of the children read this one.
Hello.
Okay, on page 24. It's at the very top left side.
What page?
24.
Okay.
Yeah. Read it loud.
All right. 21-22.
Verse 42.
That Jesus saith unto them, have ye never read in the scriptures, a stone which the builders rejected, the same hath become head of the corner. From the Lord hath this come to pass, and is marvelous in our eyes.
That's exactly it. And so there it is, Christ saying the same thing. And he's quoting that. He's quoting that from Psalms, that he was to be the corner and that was rejected, was going to be rejected. Well, why? Well, because, hey, if you take this, if you take Christ as being your corner, you can't have any part of us. Ooh, well, I want a part of you, so I'm going to have to just push that to the side. Well, you're going to just go with the stream and go down there, and there's nothing miraculous is going to come out of that per se, and so this is exactly what he's talking about. Let's look at one more here. Let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter, almost all the way to the back. 1 Peter 2, 3 through 9. And Elijah, would you like to read this? Chapter 2, verses 3 through 9 on page 239, right side. Do you want to read it?
Yeah.
2:3-9.
If ye have tasted for yourselves that gracious is the Lord, unto whom coming near as unto a living stone, by men indeed rejected, but with Yahweh choosing, held in honor, yourselves also as living stones are being built up in a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices well-pleasing unto Yahweh through Yahushua Mashiach, inasmuch as it is contained in Scripture, lo, I lay in Zion an outmost cornerstone, chosen, held in honor, and he that resteth faith thereupon shall not be put to shame. Unto you, when is the honor unto you who believe, but unto such as disbelief, the stone which the builders rejected, the same hath become head of the corner, and a stone to strike against, a rock to stumble over, who stumble because unto the word they did do not yield, unto which also they have been appointed. But ye are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a particular treasure. That's the excellence ye may tell forth of him who out of darkness hath called you unto his marvelous light.
That's it. And so as you read through there, very good job. Okay. As you read through there, you look at that and the whole thing about being built on, that we are, let's see here, yourselves also as living stones are being built upon a spiritual house. And so you think about that. A cornerstone is where it's set, and then everything else is built upon that. And those that do not are going to be the ones that stumble. And those ones that stumble are going to be the ones to come to you to try to stumble you as well. They're not going to do this. They don't want you to do this. They're going to put those things in front of you. And there's one way to do it. We can go over it, we can go around it, or we can just turn back and go the other way. Okay, and this is what I'm talking about, the resistance. Not to be shying away from the fight, so to speak. The fights come against the adversary. So when the adversary is coming barking at you to be in your way or to provoke you or any of these things, hey, I'm going to bark right back. I'm going to bark right back and try to do everything I can. And this is where we're calling for that. Don't shy away from that. Now, it comes, you know, in some areas it's really easy to do that. Others like going, boy, this is a personal thing. Boy, if I talk to this person, say something, man, I'm really going to offend them. And so what do I do? How do I do this? And so, again, that's where we're called. Hey, we're called to do this. We're called to go speak those things. And so many times where somebody would say something, you're like going, yeah, that's not really right. Do I say something? And it can be a time where you can say, hey, Yahweh, tell me if I need to speak up. If I need to speak up, I will speak up. And I just know I will just speak up. But there can be times where it's not the right, you know, portion to do it. But anyhow, it's to be standing bold and not shying away from the resistance. Remember, the resistance generates the light. Okay? The resistance does that light. And so when that friction's coming, a lot of times there's something that's being worked that we may not know about, that, hey, there's something marvelous coming, and the adversary is going to do everything to try to impede or put other people in the way or however, and guess what? Because of that, this friction that's coming, something marvelous may be coming with it. And so to avoid one, you avoid the other. And so by avoiding the resistance, you avoid that glory. You avoid that chance for Yahweh being able to shine. How does my faith come?
Hearing.
Romans 10:17. Hence our faith cometh by something heard, and that which is heard through a declaration of Christ. If we are silent, if we do not speak it, they are not going to hear. Okay, and so for us to do that, that's where it's so important for us to tell our testimonies about what's happened. The faith things, because when somebody hears that, I can have that too. I can't believe that. What's so special about you? Nothing. Nothing is so special about me. I'm a son of the Creator, as so are you. And you can tap into the same thing. So I always think about that, you know, with you think about a box car. You know, that gets on there, and they had some old ones that they restored in Fort Collins, and they pull them out with a little tractor. They pull them out from the garage and to the key, to where they would be on the tracks, and then the guy would get out and he would literally hook the wire up. It was a long pole with the wire, and he'd dangle it over the top of the electricity. To make this thing go, he had to hook it to the electricity, and it grounded and ran through the cart to the tracks, and it gave it a circuit, and so it would run. And I think to myself, for us, it's the same thing, except where we're plugging into, we don't see it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you know that if I want power, I plug something into the wall. Hey, duh. I plug it in, it works. I know that. I don't have to have faith, or I do have to have faith. I know that when I plug this in and turn this on, it's going to come on. Same thing for us. We are plugging in as well, but our source is not seen visibly. That is faith, where we're plugging in. We're tapping into that source. We're tapping into that Energizer Bunny. If our batteries are dead, if we're not used to this, if we haven't practiced, if we have not worked ourselves to manifest that faith, to exercise that faith, then we need to do this, to recharge those batteries so that when we tap in, we're ready to go. We know this. Hey, if you've done something in faith once, Do you think it's harder to do it the second time or easier?
Easier.
A lot easier. A lot easier. And guess what? By telling somebody, they're going to feed into that, and they're going to tap into that circuit as well. Really, that happened to you. I think about that. So the people who followed Christ were following him because they wanted to see the miracles, and they wanted to have this take place. Yeah. And so they're like going, we believe this guy can do it. Why? Because we heard he can do it. We saw that he can do it. They tapped into that. Same thing for us. Okay. Faith is where the promises of work of Yahweh are made manifest to his people. The faith is work, and that's imperative that people know that. If somebody can say, I have faith, it has to be in action. Put that faith into action. That's it. Acting on the promises of Yah. So here's a good one here. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Then it accepts the impossible, does without the indispensable, and bears the intolerable. Uh-huh. And that's exactly it. So that's where we're looking at. We are believing for something that is not natural. We're believing for something because if it was natural, it's no faith. If we know that I've got a stomach ache and if I take a Tums, it's gone. There's no faith in taking the Tums and thinking it's gone. Okay, that's void of it. But believing in something, and there's no explanation for this. This is one way. Okay, of this is either going to happen or this is going to be the scenario. So we have to speak for this miracle. We have to speak for something miraculous to take place. Another one here by George Mueller. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of truth. Of true faith is the end of anxiety. And I did a teaching about that before, that these are two polar opposites. Okay, and it's tough. I'm telling you that it's tough, because when you are faced with something that's horrendous, and you're like going, how do I curb my anxiety to let the faith rise? Because the faith will push away the anxiety, as will the anxiety push away the faith. Okay, and so when you are manifesting anxiety, you are manifesting negative faith. Okay? And it's tough. It's tough to be able to do that, but that's what it's called for. And guess what? Those things, that's a big, big resistance where now you're going to get to see the miraculous take place. Yeah. Pushing one down to the other. Think about that with Andrew Womack when his kid died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they're driving to go identify the body.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine anxiety, faith? Okay? Mm-hmm. And then you curb that. Okay. We're going to get a hold of this. And how do we do this? They started singing songs. They started quoting scriptures. And as they did this, they're purging one for the other. And by the time they get there, it's purged. And on top of that, they had the faith that, yes, this can it happen? Yes, and it did happen. And so this is the faith in action. Okay? I love that picture of him.
I do too.
Like, oh, that's a great picture. Anyways, under pressure. Not the Queen song, which I do like anyways. Tricks of the adversary, because this is something that you see things that just play over and over and over again through the Word. Man has certain weaknesses, okay, that can be played on that are very, very effective. It's like a dice, you know, a three-sided dice. You roll this out, and one of these will work. And if it doesn't, try roll it again and see what else you get, and just keep doing that. And so the tricks of the adversary, because who's going to be putting this in front of you? Who is going to be doing this? Is there's going to be things that go against you, or thoughts, or things that come where you're like, I don't know how to deal with this. Tricks of adversary, to doubt Yahweh, abandoning your promises. Now, could you imagine this when you put yourself in stories in this word where things came, like at the fourth watch of the night where the guys are out there, their boat is being tossed. The fourth watch of the night. You're talking the very, very end of the night. For crying out loud, do you not see us here? So can you imagine that? You're speaking to do whatever, to calm, to Yahweh, help us, you know, Yahushua, save us, do something for us. And in your ear, he doesn't care about you. Do you forget about you? Mm-hmm. Where is he? Where is he? I thought you could do this. And you're like going, boy, maybe, am I wrong? Did I miss something? And all these things start coming in. This is a well-played trick that the adversary uses. To retaliate against others with anger and resentment. And I'm guilty of this. When somebody really hurts you or really scars you, to lash out. Yeah. I'll get even with you. I'll come back for you. Or to even think about that. I think about that now with evil, wicked people. I'm like going, you know what? I could just line them up and shoot them. Yeah. And I think to myself, wow, and I'm like going, and guess what? And what do you see right now in politics, wicked politics that you see from one side where they attack, and then what they do is they divide everybody, because everybody divided now is against everybody. Everybody hates everybody. And so by doing this, not only did it steal from you, it glorified in a different area for the adversary. And this is where it's like, no, we don't retaliate. We don't repay evil with evil. Okay? There's justice. There is justice that we do. But we don't do it out of retaliation. And so that's one thing where you see where it breaks people apart. To give in despair and discouragement, where you've just been fighting it for so long, they're just like going, I give up. I just can't do this. I'm beyond it. And so you just throw in the towel. And again, the adversary's like, you know, right there. Well, yeah, of course, of course. Oh, let me remind you of your sins. You so righteous here, huh? You're going to get this happen to you. Do you remember when you did this? Do you remember the other day when you did that? All these things start running through where you have to squelch this, because now the anxiety starts to filter in where the faith is leaking out. And that's where we have to push those back away. And so to do that, we have to have scriptures that we know that we can spit out to curb those things. The songs to be able to clear our mind. That anxiety is a plague of the mind. It's a disease of the mind. And so to clear our minds from those things, as we purge one, we're going to let the other flow back in. Being under pressure can lead to bad habits. Developing wrong attitudes, a defeatism attitude, where you just like go on, yeah, I see it happen to other people, never happened to me, it's not even worth me trying. And slide down into despair. So great success under pressure, as you think about it in the Word, I just put a few of them in here that I think about that. These are things that took place where people were under great resistance. Okay, think about Moses when he went to the Pharaoh, and now, hey, guess what? No straw for your mud. Should have just left us alone, Moses, for crying out loud. Now what are we going to do? Yeah. Okay? Or we get across, and now we get pinned up against the Red Sea. Now think about that. They're pinned up against the Red Sea, and now they're like going, what are we going to do? Okay, what are we going to do? You should have left us where we were, Moses, and this is his own people doing this. Can we expect as a body of Christ not to have the persecution and the resistance come from within the body of Christ, from other people? Yeah. Absolutely. And so you see that over and over again. We get across in there, oh, we don't have any water, we need water. Okay, well, of course you need water. They needed all these things. Yahweh knew of all these things. But some of these things took place when they were pinned literally against the wall. And then Yahweh came through. Yahweh didn't tell them, hey, you're going to go across here, I'm going to stall them. They're going to come after you. I'm going to split the Red Sea. You're going to go across on dry ground. I'm going to provide water. I'm going to provide fire by night, clouds by day. This is what I'm going to do. No, he told you, you are to go and to take this, to go. And so they did. And this is the do, not how, but to go yeah. do. Elijah. And I think that was Elijah. Remember when he did the sacrifice? And he said that the approved one from Yahweh will be the one that's lit. And then he challenged them. Can you imagine that? How bold in the face of this. To how easy it would have been like going to Elijah and say, hey, I know, okay? But I'm going to show you in faith, in action right now. And so he spread it out. Hey, let's pour water all over it. I don't want any excuses, void of anything. No, anything else except for the fact that this was Yahweh working this. And so he did that. And he stood bold against all the other people who were scoffers. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't you think it would have been nice for them to know, hey, you guys are going to go in the fire, but you're going to be protected. Mm-hmm, okay? Yeah. They didn't. And they stood in faith. Even when they marched up, and remember the guards who threw them in were consumed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were consumed because the fire was 7 times the normal heat. Mm-hmm. Okay? Wouldn't that be nice to know? Holy cow, when you're going to be thrown at something and you look at something and you can't even get close to it because it's so intensely hot. And I think to myself, they didn't know how it was going to be, but they walked in faith and came out with, is that a miraculous story? Absolutely. So had they been like going, okay, all right, you win. Here, we'll go ahead and do this. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and do what you requested. Okay, we're going to go ahead and do that. Daniel. Think about with Daniel, how Daniel stood bold as well. He was set up for his praying. For his praying. He was set up and then tricked into this. And yet he still did this, knowing the consequences. He took the resistance and he did it because what Yahweh was telling him to do, and walked out with a wonderful story. Same with Gideon. Okay? Miraculous story with Gideon. Peter, I think of that with his... I think about the one teaching I did where Peter, with his boat journey, that everything that happened to him on this journey was just one thing after another, and he goes on a journey and had no idea what was going to happen. You are to go to here. Now, everything that takes place in the meantime, you're covered. It's all covered. But in us, to me, I want an itinerary. Okay, we're going to do this at this time. We're going to do this at this. We're going to stop here. Okay, Yahweh doesn't work that way because that's not faith. To walk out in faith, he did all these things and claimed all these things. He had bit by a snake, he had shipwrecked. Okay, one after another, it was the journey. Here's where you're to go. Everything's covered. And so you walk out in faith. I think about that with all the stories we read about the people going on missions where they would go to Africa and they'd show up to the docks with no money. Okay, and have their family. Oh, yeah. And seriously, you've got your family there. And now, what are we going to do? And somebody would come up to him. It was prepared. He didn't know, hey, go there and this guy's going to give you money and you're going to be okay. And you go, oh, God, thank goodness. That's, check that one off. That's put my mind at ease. No, every step was in faith. Everything is faith. And then to tell people that, hey, this is what happened, this builds the encouragement and it increases your faith. And guess what? Now when you get there, you know that Yahweh is with you, protecting you, guiding your steps as you're in fellowship with this, and you're going to be able to manifest more faith as well. Lamentations here. We're getting down here to the close here, guys. Lamentations 3. Yes, and this is about the middle as well. About page 783. Actually, on 782. Page, or 22 and 23. Would somebody read those for me? Bottom right column of 782.
The loving kindness of Yahweh, verily, they are not exhausted. Verily, not at an end are his compassions. New things for the mornings, abundant is thy faithfulness.
That's it. And I love that. That should be something that we put upon us. That would be a great memory verse as well. New things for the mornings. Every day is a new chance and a new opportunity and a new awakening of the world, if you will, okay, of the sun coming up, and it's a new morning, and everything now is refreshed, and I am refreshed from a night of sleep where I can get up and tackle again those things where I got defeated on, those things that I got beat on yesterday. Tomorrow, I will take them. Tomorrow, I will get them. And in the morning when I rise, these are the things I will speak, and this is what I will claim, and this is how my faith will be in action. Two more here. James 1. Verses 12 through 18. And I will read this as well here. It's going to be on page 235, I believe. 12 through 18.
Got it.
235 on the left side. Everybody there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Starting in verse 12 through 18. Happy the man who endureth temptation, because becoming approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which he hath promised unto them that love him. Let no one while tempted be saying, and this is important here, let no one while tempted be saying, from Yahweh am I tempted. For Yahweh cannot be tempted by things evil, and himself tempteth no one.
Amen.
But each one is tempted when by his own covetings he is drawn out of and enticed. Then the coveting, having conceived, given birth to the sin. And the sin, when well grown, bringeth forth death. Be not deceived, my brethren beloved. Every good giving and every perfect gift is from above. Okay, is from above.
Amen.
Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no alternation, nor shadow cast by turning. Because he was so minded, he hath brought us forth with the word of truth, to the end we should be sort of a first fruits of his creatures. Okay, and so that's it. That's where it's important. I hear so many times where people, where they get tripped up by this. Well, when a child dies, and I was listening to Glenn Beck the other day, and they're talking about that in his church, where a child died, and well, it built up the rest of the family, so that must have been why the child died. I'm like, well, great for the child, huh? And it's these things here where, well, it was needed to be, because this had to happen, and blah, blah, blah. And I always tell people, refer back to this here, okay? This is important. I've shown this scripture to many people. It's important to understand this, that everything good comes from Yahweh. Remember when the creation, everything was perfect. Paradise. And what brought about the corruption was the sin, and things changed. And so when people look at that and they're out weeding their gardens and whatnot, they can think about this. In paradise, we didn't have this. In paradise, we will not have this. Okay?